It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, our guest makes the case for antitrust action against the online retail giant Amazon.
First, President Trump returned to the Oval Office today, marking the end of his 17-day working vacation. It's his first day on the job without his chief strategist, Steve Bannon, who left the administration last Friday.
The Trump administration's policies post-Bannon already seem like they might be starting to take shape. The president is set to give a speech on Afghanistan and South Asia tonight. Many suspect he'll announce plans that Bannon would have disagreed with.
Rosie Gray is a staff writer at The Atlantic and joins us to take a closer look at what Trump administration policy without Steve Bannon could look like. Rosie, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
In broad strokes, what would you say the possibilities are for how different a Bannon-less White House might be?
Well, Steve Bannon kind of represented, the voice of Trump's base within the White House, and he was sort of the connection that President Trump had with his, with the sort of, populist slash nationalist ideology that has differentiated, Donald Trump from other Republicans. And within the White House, Steve Bannon was pushing for a lot of, campaign promises that they had made, such as renegotiating NAFTA, such as, basically trying to minimize our presence in Afghanistan. And there are other examples of that as well. And so, it's a very sort of factional White House, and Bannon was often opposed by more sort of moderate forces within the building who had a different point of view. And so with Bannon leaving, the White House loses sort of the key link to a lot of those sort of very, signature Trump initiatives.
So you said that Steve Bannon was seen as kind of the inside voice representing that really core Trump constituency. Do we know how that constituency, which has stayed very loyal to the president, is taking this news?
Well, if you look at Breitbart, which is the website that Steve Bannon was running before he joined the campaign and then the administration, and that he's actually returned now to be in charge of again, there's been some sort of pieces that are pretty critical of his kind of rivals from when he was in the White House, such as Jared and Ivanka and Gary Cohn and H.R. McMaster. And so, there was before when it seemed like his job was kind of in danger. I mean, there was definitely, a push on in sort of like pro-Trump media to kind of defend him, and especially with Breitbart and some other places. I would say that, the way that it's been received is as, Bannon kind of making, a sort of triumphant return to Breitbart. That's how they played it. But also, there's no question that his influence had been sort of minimized for a while, and that, he was at the end of the day, he was fired. So
the White House, the Trump administration, President Trump himself, has a low approval rating in the general population. Do you think this move to remove Steve Bannon might add a couple points to that approval rating?
Well, I'm not so sure that that most people necessarily are paying that close attention to the ins and outs of White House personnel changes. Yeah, I think that one thing that we could potentially see is that from the outside, Bannon is much more sort of, potentially influential on how Trump is received among the base than he might have been on the inside, because from the outside, Bannon is going to feel much freer to criticize Trump when he feels like he's not living up to promises, to go after people in the White House that he doesn't like. And so it's possible that if he uses Breitbart as his method of doing those things, Breitbart does have a substantial readership among the base, and that is something that could sway that sort of opinion.
We're talking right now with Rosie Gray. She's a staff writer at The Atlantic, and we're talking about what the Trump administration policy and the White House might look like without Steve Bannon, former chief strategist who left the administration on Friday. And Rosie, the president came under fire for his comments on Charlottesville and events there, and for having a chief strategist in Bannon that is strongly connected to the alt-right. Is this good news for the opposition? Are they taking this as a win?
Well, I'm not sure whether the opposition is necessarily taking this as a win. You know, I think that you see a lot of personnel churn in this White House. There are a lot of, you know, an unusual amount of senior White House officials who have either left or been fired just in the past, you know, couple months.
But he was certainly a lightning rod in a lot of ways.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, and there definitely was, you know, among the opposition, there was definitely a sentiment that Bannon needed to go. And I think that he could have maybe hung on longer if it hadn't been for Charlottesville and for the sort of, you know, like the sort of like added controversy that his presence in the White House sort of brought to that situation.
Do we know how much Steve Bannon's views were part of what President Trump said publicly on various occasions about race relations in the United States?
Do you mean over the course of the campaign or
in general? I mean, Bannon has been influential from the campaign through the election inauguration and up till Friday, at least. You know, how much did his position on race and his, you know, his views that were espoused on Breitbart, how much did those influence President Trump?
Well, I would say that, you know, it's some people sort of see Steve Bannon as a kind of, you know, Machiavellian, like power behind the throne sort of figure. And that's not quite right. I mean, you know, Donald Trump does have his own views and his own opinions about things. And I think that, you know, the idea that there's anybody working for him who can sort of really have a major impact on what comes out of his mouth isn't quite right. I do think that the two of them do tend to have kind of a mind meld on certain issues. And when it comes to race relations, you know, I think that they both have this instinct to, instead of doing what might be considered kind of like the politically correct thing, they have an instinct to, you know, even under intense criticism, sort of, you know, revert in the opposite direction and kind of lash out in that way.
The president will give a primetime speech tonight on Afghanistan and South Asia. People can hear that tonight on the Ideas Network. Could announcing more troops in Afghanistan mark a break with Bannon, since he was always against expending more U.S. forces around the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a good example of the White House sort of going in what might be kind of like the expected direction rather than the sort of Bannon direction. I mean, Bannon had been a big proponent of drawing down in Afghanistan and kind of minimizing U.S. presence there. And, you know, it's worth noting that Donald Trump himself has been a major critic of what's going on in Afghanistan and, you know, said during the campaign that he wanted to basically get out of there, et cetera. His generals, you know, like his military brass have basically encouraged him to, and they have come up with this plan that's expected to be announced that in which there's going to be a troop increase. Bannon had been, you know, bringing in outside people to sort of present plans that involved, for example, private contractors. Eric Prince, the former Blackwater president, you know, he drew up a plan that involved using contractors instead of U.S. troops, and that was something that was sort of circulating in the White House. And obviously, the Bannon point of view did not win out.
Rosie, as you said, there has been a lot of churn at the White House, many senior-level staff people coming and going. But, you know, Steve Bannon was different. I mean, he was with President Trump or candidate Trump first and before that and was an early supporter. You know, when Bannon talks about being able to be more effective for the president from the outside than from the inside, what happens if Bannon starts going after people close to President Trump? We know President Trump has a real issue with loyalty and protecting those close to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a good question. I think, you know, if Steve Bannon sort of uses Breitbart to, like, heavily go after Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, you know, I wonder, like, what the line would be before President Trump himself starts to not be so happy with that. But there is sort of a, there's been several instances in which, you know, somebody who kind of gets fired by Donald Trump sort of stays in the orbit and remains kind of like an outside advisor that they'll call on the phone and stuff like that. And I could see that. I could definitely see that happening with Steve Bannon, particularly since he's going to be running a news organization that, you know, that can be a very powerful ally of the White House, and that could be, if it turns on the White House, you know, a big sort of pain in the neck.
Rosie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Rosie Gray is a staff writer at The Atlantic. She joined us to talk about the future of the Trump White House without former chief strategist Steve Bannon.